So I'd like to borrow a phrase from Carl Jung, who was not writing about for religion, but once I heard it, I felt that like that's very true, and it describes the faith as well. He once said something like, "Beware of the wisdom you did not earn." And that's because I think it's true that much of wisdom comes through the hard work of enduring life, which has a way of teaching you how and what God was all about in creating us. And we can oftentimes seem so quick to spout off things about God when we're young, and what it means to have faith, and the purpose of life without really having sort of the credentials of experience in living it. I think of my life as a priest. When I was making the decision to become a priest, I talked about faithfulness and dedication, becoming a man of prayer, devotion to the Eucharist, and my love for God. And I am sure that it was all true for the time when I said it. But I know that when I say it now, after 26 years of priesthood, watching some of my own seminarian friends leave the priesthood, after experiencing the abuse crisis, difficult assignments, some hate mail from parishioners, hard funerals to celebrate, the death of my own parents, struggling with leadership in the church, making a bunch of mistakes, and not really feeling like it at times. Asking me if I have faith means something very different now. And the wisdom that comes from God is earned with the digging into the depths of our souls and hearing Him ask us, "Do you yet have faith?" We can ask ourselves if we really earned the wisdom to know that God does what He says He does. And He gives the graces He says He gives to experience this life. And it can be said to be sad that there's a rejection of faith, sometimes with people who are young, just like we see today, without yet having been tested with the chaos of what life can bring. It's kind of like, you know, being presented to run a marathon when we've only been a couch potato Catholic. Jesus asks today, "Why are you terrified? Do you not yet have faith?" And they were terrified, and I probably would have been as well. It was a scary situation to be on the boat in the middle of a violent squall, with Jesus sleeping at the stern. So why would He then ask them why they are terrified, and if they yet have any faith? Seems a bit obvious to me that they were scared. I think if we take the story apart, we really get what's going on here. See, there are three motifs in the story that connect us with the Old Testament and the faith of the people. The first is the ability to control the sea and subdue it was a sign of divine power. We see in the first reading in the book of Job. But if we look into the Psalms and Isaiah, we see that God controls all, especially nature. And not only is divine power able to control the sea, but in the second motif, the image is that the storm is a metaphor for evil forces in the world. The sea symbolizes chaos in our lives and the things that are uncontrollable. When good people experience persecution, struggle and pain and suffering, we often refer to them as the storms of life. And the third motif is that the people of faith have trust in God, even in the most terrible of storms. Even as Jesus might seem asleep or even absent or delayed in acting when things are really difficult, we are to hold on to the trust to know that God is in control of all that exists, even in the storms of life. So this calls forth from us a kind of faith that trusts that even if God seems absent or delays his action, he is still present and in control. Now that's nice to say, and it would be great if we believed this when things get very hard, like the divorce or an illness or caring for someone for years, especially our parents, at the loss of a job or the betrayal of a friend, a pandemic, difficulty with choices that our children are making, with accidents, and many other things that make life hard. So very hard for some. And it also becomes a very hard to remember and to have the faith. And I think the answer comes from the response of the disciples. Jesus asking them if they had faith is much more important than we realize. And oftentimes we can think of it as a negative thing, like is he scolding them? But maybe not really. According to scripture scholars, it's an invitation. Jesus says, "Why are you terrified? Do you not yet have faith?" For Mark, it's his theology of discipleship. See, because we're only in chapter 4. These same disciples were chosen in chapter 3. Just one chapter before. So before going into the boat, Jesus says that they have been given the mystery of the kingdom of God. And so they are a privileged audience of Jesus' teaching and explanation. And we are going to get a very important teaching on the water. Jesus is not accusing them of having unfaith like atheists today. And he's not referring to what we call a faithless generation that he will speak of later. Jesus is asking them if they yet have faith is important in the larger context of being a disciple. Because the disciples are still on the journey. They're just beginning that journey to true faith. A faith that will hopefully help them sustain through the cross, and then to them giving their own lives one day. They're just at the beginning, and beginning to learn what it means to believe and to trust in God in the chaos that happens in their lives. And so when we are experiencing the chaos of our own life, you know, of our life, and we wonder, where the heck is God? Because he seems to be missing in all this mess. Like the disciples, we cry out to Jesus, to God, "Jesus, do you not care that we are perishing?" Even if we have the privilege of God in our lives, even if we go to church and pray, we are just like the disciples in the gospel. We are invited to continue on that journey into a deeper, more profound faith in God. Not a light, cheesy, shallow faith. Faith, the faith Jesus is talking about today, is not something static. It's not something that you either have or you do not. Jesus is talking about a faith that is dynamic and fostered and nurtured and grows through sometimes struggle and chaos, and it prepares us for the even greater tests, as we see today in the gospel, being prepared for the great faith that they will need one day. When Jesus goes to the crucifixion, his death, and his resurrection. Pope Benedict once said, "God has the right to test your faith." I think that's so important because we know that that's the only way we will find out if we have any faith yet.